Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to your weekly edition of the Jersnet podcast, the independent Rangers podcast made for fans by fans. And as always, our content is free. You can get us over at the forum at jersnet.co.uk, get us over on Twitter at Jersnet Online, where you can get the podcast, and over on the website at jersnet.co.uk with a fantastic history archive as well. My name is Craig Ray, previewing after this wonderful game against Hearts today. But before we get into it, I need to give a wee message from our sponsors. That's Forest Precision Engineering. They're a subcontract Glasgow-based engineering company. They've been a big commercial supporter of Rangers for many years, and we're absolutely delighted they're backing our podcast. You can get them over at forestprecisioneng.com. And you can also visit the Forest Precision Executive Lounge, a stunning new hospitality area within the historic main stand at Ibrox. For information on how to book this unique intimate space, you can email the club via hospitality@rangers.co.uk. So now that's done, time to introduce my guests. First up, Mr. Ian Duff. Ian, how you doing, sir?
Yeah, not bad, thanks.
Good to see you again. Colin, you're a wee bit coughing, but you okay, sir?
Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, I've had a bit of a sort of chest infection and various bits and bobs recently, so yeah. Lucky I'm here. Nearly pulled another sickie.
We don't want to get into that, but no, we need to talk about our Rangers victory today, of course, beating Hearts 2-0 in the semi-final. Colin, I'll start with you, mate. The thing that I got for it today was mostly that it was a routine game at Hampden. Like, I mean, now that I think about it, the last three games at Hampden, we've won all three of them in normal time. And I can't remember the last time that happened. Now that I think about it, I mean, it wasn't the best performance in the world today, but we got over the line. Big Dessa scored a couple, so job done. That's it, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I wouldn't say it was a great performance. I also wouldn't necessarily say it was a bad performance. Certainly improved on the shambles of Ross County and Dundee. I thought we started really well, started with a bit of tempo, which is something we've not done at all of late. You know, we've been starting games really slowly, particularly obviously in the Celtic game, and we're like 1-0 down after like 17 seconds or something like that. I thought we started well today, bit of intensity, got the goal, really chuffed Dessers. Obviously we'll come on and talk about his contribution, but looked good. I thought when Seema went off, we kind of lost our way a wee bit, and that's, I'm not sort of having, you know, I'm not trying to be derogatory to McCausland to replace them. I just think with that momentum we had, sort of, we lost our way a wee bit. And I mean, it wasn't a great quality, really. You know, Hearts, I mean, they were dog meat, really. I thought, you know, they had two or three decent chances, but you couldn't really say they ever really looked like scoring today. But between the first goal and the second goal, I think we lost our way. Once we got the second goal, you know, we maybe could have had, I mean, Dessers could have had another two or three after that, you know what I mean? So I don't think anyone could say Rangers didn't deserve to win the day. It's another final. The semi-finals are becoming a bit routine now, as you say. You know, that's a few now that we've won. There was a phase there, particularly under Steven Gerrard, when we were losing these quite regularly, the semi-finals. So it's another final opportunity to retain the Scottish Cup. So a good day all round, really, but I'm still smarting a wee bit from the last two games. You know, the Ross County and Dundee games have scunnered me a wee bit, to be honest with you. But, you know, road to recovery starts today.
Well, hopefully it is a road to recovery, Colin. And Ian, you made a few good points there. I mean, let's be honest, we have all been scunnered by the last week. I think it kind of came out of nowhere. But, you know, we went out today, we got the job done. As you speak about Big Dessers, mentioned him earlier. He's one of the most strangest Rangers players I've seen in my life, just because, like, everything that goes his way, he's either, like, up here or he's down there. There's no in between. But he done his job to get a couple. But as Colin said, he could have got a hat-trick as well. So what do you make of Dessers' performance today?
I mean, I thought he played okay. I thought, you know, I think the two chances or the two opportunities he was through later on, for whatever reason, he decided to, or at least one of them anyway, decided to pass it to Silva, which was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. That what he was doing there. I don't know what he was trying to do, but yeah, I mean, I think if he'd gone for that himself, he might have, they got that hat trick, and you know what a boost that would have been for him. But yeah, I mean, I think he's the thing with Dessers is, I mean, he's in on one hand, he's not, he's clearly not the player we'd like him to be, but he's scoring goals. Not you wouldn't rely on him to score, I have to say. You know, if he was clean through 1-1 against the keeper 9 times out of 10, I think we'd probably all say he's going to miss this. But you know, he's still getting the back of the net. I thought his 2 goals today were really pretty well taken. First one in particular, but the second one as well, I thought it was a good goal. Yeah, he took it well the second attempt. So yeah, and I thought he played okay today. He sort of contributed a bit more than he does sometimes. So it's a strange one because he's a striker first and foremost. He's there to score goals, and he scored 2 goals today. So what more can you say? I mean, that's he's done his job and got us through and in the final. So in that sense, you can't knock him. As I say, he's not the player we would like him to be. He's not necessarily ever going to be the first choice if we had a fully fit squad and we had the level of players that we would all like to see playing for us. But I mean, he's there and he does a job, and you know, I wouldn't knock him.
Right, Colin, the manager and his starting line-up today obviously put Dessers up front, but the biggest call was at centre back. Obviously, we've all heard the calls the last week or so, but Goldson, Lundstrom, Tavernier, whatever. He brought in Balogun today for Goldson, and genuinely, I thought Balogun was awesome. Like, what a performance he put in, and considering the Hearts never really created many chances as well, like, what could he do in a game where you're playing against like a team that's going to create loads of chances? I thought Balogun was awesome today. See, to be honest, I think the gaffer's got a decision to make in the next few games, and I think it could be Balogun and Suter for the next wee while. What do you think?
I mean, I was surprised that Goldson was dropped because it's a big call we make. You know, he's one of the sort of main guys in the team. He's obviously a sort of leader. He's been there a few years now. But you couldn't say it's not deserved. You know what I mean? Surprised, but I'm probably surprised at the timing of it. You know what I mean? Such a big game, semi-final. If it goes tits up the day, then Clement's got a bit of a, you know, he's got more questions to sort of answer about his team selection. But I'll be honest with you, I think you could have tossed a coin between him and Suter. I don't think either of them have sort of covered themselves in glory recently. I don't think Suter had a particularly great game today either, particularly second half. There was two or three times he got needlessly caught in the ball and allowed Hearts to get a chance. There was a sort of semi-smash in our box. He's received it. He's got time to sort of pick a pass and just passes it straight to a Hearts boy, sort of just outside the 18-yard box. So I think you could have tossed a coin between Suter and Goldson in terms of who was getting dropped. I've been a wee bit surprised that Balogun hasn't featured a wee bit more recently, to be honest with you, because one of the features of Clement since he's came in is we stopped conceding stupid goals. You know, we'd become quite a strong defensive unit. I was looking back over the fixtures recently after the game last week when we conceded 3 against Ross County, and I was looking at February in particular, and we had 7 games in February. And, you know, some tough opponents, you know, Hearts were in there, Kelly were in there, and we conceded 3 goals a whole month in 7 fixtures. In April, the first two games in April, we've conceded 6. So I think gradually the case has been there to change that centre half pairing, you know, to either drop Goldson or probably more likely drop Suter. So although it was a surprise, it's not a surprise, if you know what I mean, because I think a lot of us felt he's not been playing well. Fair play to Clement making that decision in such a big game. You know, I think the last time I remember anything like that, I think the semi-final against Aberdeen a few years back in Souness's day, and he dropped Terry Butcher for the semi-final against Aberdeen, and I don't think we've seen Terry Butcher again. That was it. He was gone, and he was out of the club, and that was that. You know, that's what managers are there to do. They're to make big decisions and big calls, and Goldson hasn't of late been playing well. I don't think Suter has either. You know, there's been a lot of focus on Dessers missing chances and But I don't think we're scoring any less than we have been since Clement arrived. I think the issue is the amount of goals that we're conceding. We're starting to concede stupid goals. Last week against Ross County, 3 in 24 minutes. That's an example. And every one of them was a farce. You know, each one was more farcical than the one that preceded it. It was just beyond a joke. So it's a statement, you know, it's putting the message out there. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're not performing, you have to get the team. We've got the result today, so Clement can face Conor Goldson tomorrow with, you know, a clean conscience and say he made the right decision, because not only did we win, we didn't concede. And his replacement, I agree with you, I thought Balogun strolled through the game today. I thought he was excellent. So, yeah, it was a big decision to make it at this stage of the season when we're in a sort of title race and playing in a semi-final. Big call to make, but you would have to say, based on the evidence of today, he's got it right, and hopefully it gives Goldson the jolt that he needs.
I think the thing is that he had to do something. You know, the last three games, or the last two games certainly, but I mean, arguably the last three games have shown that he needed to do something. He had to make a statement, as Colin says, and it had to be something pretty major. And he's, you know, to be fair, as you say, he's quite a brave decision in a semi-final to drop a guy who has been a mainstay for the last whatever 5 seasons or whatever it is a big call. And you know, he'll still have to manage that regardless of the result today. He'll still have to manage that for the next week or however long it is. I mean, I don't know how Goldson will react to it. You know, let's hope it's positive, but you know, he might not. So it was a big call to make, and especially putting Balogun in, who's barely, you know, kicked a ball for this year, and he's barely played all season. So you know, it was a big shout bringing him in, but it worked, and you know, Hearts weren't great anyway. But you know, you could argue that that was because, you know, we stopped them from doing what they want to do, maybe. So, but I think he really was in a position that he had to make a big change to the team. I don't think it had the dramatic effect maybe he'd hoped it would have had. We started off well, but I think again, you know, the injury early on to Seema probably sort of knocked us out of stride a bit. But I think, you know, he had to do something, and he did do something. And you know, that instead of just sort of repeating the same mistakes, he's taking a chance, and it's paid off.
Aye, well, you know, stick with you on that one. You're talking about the manager like doing something, like whatever. I mean, he's made a few statements this season. I mean, I think the first statement was the Limassol game at Ibrox, where he took Cantwell off at half time. He went, "No, you're not doing it for me, whatever, fine, you're dropped." Goldson this week, "No, you're dropped for a big semi final." I really like that in the Rangers manager, because I don't think many managers before him would have actually had the goonies to do that. I mean, we'll talk past him. Giovanni van Bronckhorst, his problem was he was probably too nice a guy. Gerrard could have probably been the last one that actually had the cojones to like drop players or not drop players, but you know, whatever. But I like that about Clement, the fact that he doesn't care who you are. It's like, if you're not putting in the performances now, you're not getting a starting place in my team. And that's the way it should be. That's the way it should always be at Rangers, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, of course. I mean, exactly that. I mean, nobody's guaranteed a starting position, and no, you know, no matter how important you have been to the team in the past or what you've done in the past, you should be judged on how you're playing now. And you know, I think, as we've sort of discussed, I think Goldson couldn't have any complaints about being dropped on his based on his performances, because you know, he's been. I don't think he's been brilliant all season, to be perfectly honest. I mean, he's had patches, but I mean, if you think back to the goals, most of the goals that we have conceded, even when we were going through a fairly good patch of defensively, they've been defensive mistakes. You know, we've looked at it and thought, how did we, you know, we've just blown that. And quite often, Goldson's been at the heart of it. So I don't think he could have any complaints in terms of how his performances have been. So, you know, hopefully he'll take it on board, and you know, the second key time in the season, so we can't afford to have anyone having a strop at this time of season. But you know, if he does, then you know, just have to hope that Balogun does the business, stays fit.
I think that's one of the key issues, Ian. It's the time of the season. I think that, when you consider everything that's on the table here, if we'd won those two games against Dundee and Ross County, we would be top of the league and, leading this title fight as it is, we're 3 points behind, but there is a title fight on. You know what I mean? It would look at the moment that, they're probably favourites to win it, but it's there. It's there, and we've not been in this position for a while. So to make that call today, with five, six games to go, with so much at stake, I think it's a really, really big call. And hopefully, as you say, he's going to have to manage this, and it'll be interesting to see Goldson's reaction, whether he takes it as a I need to improve my levels and improve my performances, or if he spits the dummy. And if he spits, that's my fear. And that was my fear when I seen the team today. It's how does he react? Has he got the ability to become, that bad apple in the dressing room, just spreading bad vibes? Or does he react in a good way and, improve his level of performance and try and get back in the team? So that's my fear, doing it at this stage in the season. And I'm not criticising Clement for it, because as we all agree, he had to do something. But it's a big, big call, I think. At this stage in the season, it's a huge call.
I think, in fact, it's at this stage of the season, sorry, is probably why he made that call, because he probably felt that he's got nothing to lose. He's got to do something, and this is maybe the last throw of the dice. He's just got to, let's see, like, we've, been pretty poor last three games, two games at least. Let's see if this will change it. So, I mean, the result was what we wanted today. So in that sense, it has done it, but we still need to see how it pans out.
I know we've got a long way to go this season anyway, put it that way. Colin, I may as well just say, obviously you mentioned it was a big call by the manager. That's what I like about him, but he's making big calls that previous managers wouldn't do. That's what I do love about Clement. Like, he's doing things that previous managers wouldn't do. And it's almost like the whole argument, you're crazy if you keep doing the same thing time and time again. I know there's another way, but I'm not going to say it because we'll get bombed. But you know what I mean? It's like, that's what I love about Clement. It's like, he's willing to do different things. He's willing to change things. And let's be honest, mate, that's what we've needed to the last, like, 3, 4, 5 years. Okay, obviously, we won the league a couple of years ago. It was amazing, right? But the core of the, like, we needed a change. We need to do something, because year after year after year, unfortunately, Celtic are winning trophy after trophy after trophy. So if you're Clement, why would you continue to do the same things that Bale's done, Gio's done, Gerrard's done? Why would you continue to do that if it's meant trophy after trophy for Celtic? That's what I love about Clement. He's got the cojones to go, nah, I'm going to do it my way. And that's it. That's what I want. And it's not only a Rangers manager, it's a leader. And that's what, in my opinion, that's what we need a leader. And I really think I've got one in Big Phil.
I think Ian's got a point. You could argue he's kind of been backed into a corner a wee bit, and I think through the week there,
That's a good point.
it's probably the first time since Clement's arrived that I've been a little bit concerned about some of the stuff he's been saying in the media. And I thought his immediate sort of press comments after the Dundee game were a bit bizarre. You know what I mean? We had loads of chances, shots cleared off the line, keeper making great saves. That wasn't the game that I watched. You know what I mean? But I get the argument that he was doing that. He didn't want to publicly criticise the players. What he's saying publicly is probably very different from what he's saying privately. But I would have to say Wednesday night, and a little bit of last Sunday as well, was the first time where I felt Clement looked a little bit rattled. You know what I mean? He didn't look quite as confident. So he's probably been backed into a corner on this, and he's made a big decision. He's made a big call, because let's face it, if he'd made the same decision as previous managers, we all know that some of these players will chuck you under the bus. You know what I mean? And so, as you say, big managers and leaders make big calls. I mean, Graeme Souness, Christ, he never went a season without chucking somebody
Hello
at the team.
everyone.
You know what I mean? It was Graham Roberts, Ian Bartram, Terry Butcher. You know what I mean? It was year on year. There was always something. And I've been at a couple of nights at the Loudon when Graeme Souness has been doing the Q&A stuff, and you get the chance to ask questions, and loads of supporters have said to him, do you regret how he handled some of that stuff, you know, and his answers always pretty much the same, that he kind of wished things were differently. But at the end of the day, he was a manager. These people were challenging his authority. So he put a message out to the rest of the group. I just have to cut them out, and that's it. Just cut them loose, get them out of the club, and that's it. I thought Souness was maybe a wee bit overly ruthless, to be honest with you. But when you listen to him explaining it, and you consider how young he was, you know, he's like mid-30s or something like that, you can kind of understand why he made those decisions. So I can understand why Clemence made that decision today. The timing of it is what surprises me, given the possible implications, you know, if Goulson doesn't react well to it. And, you know, I don't know the dynamic of that dressing room. Is it cliquey? Is it United? Is it together or whatever? But if it's cliquey and you know, Goulson's part of a clique,
Yeah, who
and he
cares?
gets all his he gets all his pals on side, then it could create an issue, you know what I mean? So, but at the end of the day, Clemence, he's laid down a message to that group. If you don't perform, you're not in the team. So, and that's what managers are there to do. That's what he gets paid for.
Exactly.
He gets paid to make big decisions. I would say that's probably, I would say that's his biggest so far. You know what I mean? And looking
Well,
back,
it's worked.
I wish someone had maybe been a wee bit more like that with Morelos sooner. You know what I mean? Because
Oh, Christ. I
I thought
know, I know,
Morelos,
I know, I know.
I thought Morelos got away with murder at times. And I just think if
He did.
someone had just been a bit firmer earlier, things might have been a wee bit different. I don't know, but yeah, it's a big call. As it stands at the moment, it's the right one because we're in the final, and we go on to next Saturday and see what it takes as we see what the teams. I mean, everyone will be looking at the team selection next week to see whether Goulson's in there or not. If he's in there, you would assume he's reacted well and performed well in training. But if Goulson's in there, then I would suggest Suter's out of the team because I think Balogun done enough today to you know keep his place in the team at the moment.
Aye, well, Balogun should be there next week, but I mean, if personally, I think it should be the same centre backs today's next week anyway. I think if Goldson's in next week, to be quite honest, it's maybe Goldson, Tav, etc., the leadership group in inverted commas during the manager's ear. At the end of the day, you've got a winning formula there. It's paying off, so keep going with it. Ian. It's a wee bit off script, but I mean, obviously, the whole Rangers Twitter, the whole the Rangers support have been talking about this leadership group like last week. And it feels really sad because they've all done great things for Rangers. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say Dow's been this, Goldson's been this, Lundstrom's been this. Like, they've all been great players for Rangers, but at the same time, you know. Managers have got to make a decision. Personally, I think for at least two of them, their time's up. That's just my personal opinion. I'll just put the floor to you. What's your thoughts on this leadership group?
To be honest, none of us really know what's going on behind the scenes, do we? So it's hard to really speculate on it. I mean, I mean, I've said, you know, I said this on here towards the start of the season, that I felt that we should have broken up this team sooner. I think that, I mean, we were looking at the defence at one point where it was Barisic, Tav, Goldson, and Balogun were the four at the back this season. I mean, we could have looked back at any point over the last 4 years, basically, and that could have been the same defence. And I just felt in terms of everything, dynamic and all the rest of it, that there was time to change it. And the danger with not changing it sooner is that when you do, and it becomes a much bigger issue. So I don't know. I don't know anything about leadership groups or whatever. When you're looking at the senior players and you expect them to be the ones that are vocal and vociferous and putting the players' point of view to the manager, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. I mean, the problem is if they have, feel that they've got more power than the manager has, and they can make decisions that override what the manager's doing. In some clubs, that's happened, and I'm sure at Rangers, it's happened over the years as well. I don't see Clement being that kind of person who would tolerate that, to be perfectly honest. So, you know, I think if that was happening, then he would, you know, make it clear that it wasn't going to happen. And if it did, then if it continued, then I think he would impose his authority in some way or another, whether that be dropping a player, for instance, which he did today, perhaps. Maybe that's linked to it. But I'm just speculating because I have no idea whatsoever what's going on behind. I don't know whether... I don't know whether Tav and Goldson... I actually used to get the impression that just looking at it from the outside, that they didn't really go on that well. I don't know why I got that impression, but I always sort of felt that. But
They're best pals.
Right,
I was
there
a couple of weeks ago in Glasgow. They're best pals.
That might be... I mean, that's probably true, but I just don't know. I always used to get the impression that Goldson sort of felt that he should be the captain and not Tavernier, and there was a sort of...
I always seemed a bit of a tension
between them. I always felt that, especially...
Aye.
I'm thinking back to... just the tail end of Gerrard's reign, I think that sort of time it felt a bit weird between them. But anyway, I have no idea, to be perfectly honest. So I don't know. I think people will speculate, but
it's an interesting point. But you raised, Ian. I mean, do we know if Goldson's maybe overstepped his mark? I don't know. I'm just saying that for emphasis' sake. Colin, I'll ask the same question to you, mate. I mean, we need to talk about this leadership group. Obviously, you've mentioned earlier, it was a big call by Rick Arthur to drop Goldson today. Well, he would say he never dropped Goldson. Goldson had a bug or whatever it was. That's what I love about the gaffer. It's like, see, whenever he drops a player, they're never dropped. They've always got something on me or whatever. Do you know what? That's perfect. That is exactly the way a Rangers manager should act in public.
I don't think that's limited to a Rangers manager. I just think that comes down to leadership and management. And I've always felt, even in my own line of work, either dealing with managers who are managing me or people that I've had to manage in the past, I always feel that people should be treated with respect and, treat them with dignity and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And do your best by them in the hope that they'll do their best by you. And I think that's why Clement, wasn't keen to criticise the players publicly last week. I think privately, there'll be different conversations happening.
Yeah.
But publicly, it's all about protecting the group and keeping them on side. I just think that's leadership. I think that's good leadership, basic leadership, actually. That's kind of what it's all about. I think if you're ever in a position when you're chucking players under a bus, then you're in a bad place. In terms of this sort of leadership group or, the sort of senior players, I don't think there's any doubt that some of them have let us down. I think the last two games is a really, really good example of it. It's, we're in a position where if we win, I mean, when you consider when Clement came in, if someone had said to you at that point, if you beat Dundee and Ross County in April, you go into the split, top of the league,
2 points clear,
and favourites to win it, you would have just went, wow, we're going to be top of the league in April, and they've blown it. And during those two games, I didn't see enough from Goldson, from Tav, from Lundstrom. These are the guys; these are the senior players. I didn't see enough from them to drag us over the line. Now, I grew up, with a Rangers team. Well, I say grew up, I was sort of mid to late teens at this point, the sort of 90s when it was, Richard Gough, Alan McCoys, John Brown. The team was full, Stuart McCall, team full of leaders. I mean, there was times they went out in games and not played particularly well, had a bad day at the office. But 9 times out of 10, they found a way to win. They just dragged a win from somewhere. And a lot of that was down to players, the senior players just dragging everybody, saying, right, it's a shit day at the office, but let's just fucking win this game and get up the road. I can't say the body language from, the senior players in that group at the moment over the last few games have given me any sort of feeling that that's what they were trying to do. If anything, I would argue that some of them looked like they were finding the responsibility a bit too much for them, and they didn't want it, and all that kind of stuff. So that's my issue with one or two of them. The body language didn't say to me they were a group trying to lead this team over the line. They were a group that sort of shied away from the responsibility. That's how it looked to me. That's just my opinion. Obviously, Ian's right when he says we don't know the dynamic in the dressing room and what's going on behind closed doors. But in terms of those players who you sort of look at as the senior players and the ones that should be dragging you over the line on days like last Sunday and Wednesday night, I can't say I've seen enough from them to make me think that that's what they were doing.
What do we think has changed? Because 3-4 games ago, you wouldn't have said that, because there was games where that weren't playing well and still managed to get across the line because these senior players were actually doing what you're talking about. They were standing up and stepping up to the plate, as they say, or whatever, and pulling us through when we needed them. So I don't know what's changed in those last few games.
Top of the league, and that's
well, right. I think anything's changed, to be quite honest. I think
we all felt this deep down that this probably will happen, and our worst fears have come true. That's my opinion. I think although they're all a couple of weeks ago, like, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, I think deep down we all felt they've got a wee slip in them.
I felt that. I mean, if you look at the whole sort of, I'm not trying to be sort of overly positive here or anything, but if you look at the last however many games it is, the previous games to the last two, I think we'd 11 straight wins, is that right? I'm not sure if that's
something
true.
I'm not far off.
We've had two bad results in 13 games. Now, if you take that as a whole, then that's not bad. But unfortunately, they've both happened to the worst possible time. Just think, well, something must have just... I mean, you might be right. They've just frozen.
I just think it's because the players have... They've been, it's not so much like they've not been in this position like several times, right? I keep going like the last 3 years, okay? I'll say the year we're on, like 2021, amazing, whatever, right? I'll take the two seasons after that as far as I'm concerned, right? So, like, what's the difference? I mean, literally every time Celtic drop points, when we had a chance to like go top of the league or like put a wee bit of pressure on them, we gubbed it. I mean, I remember it was the first weekend that VAR was introduced, actually. Celtic went to Tynecastle. I think we drew, actually. And we were playing Livy at Ibrox. Like, you're thinking, right, everybody get up for it. Livy had a goal up after 3 minutes. That's when where Lindstrom scored in, like, injury time takeaways. And it's like, really? Like, come on, man. Like, it's just...
I agree with you, right? So, but I felt this season up until now.
I thought it would be different.
I felt that they were dropping points.
I know.
And
we were taking advantage of it.
And yeah, that's why we were in the position we were in, because they were dropping points.
That's what makes it even worse.
So that's what I don't get. I don't understand why it's just suddenly, just like that, just changed in the last two games. Your last two games. And we're now talking about it being, you know,
I think we all deep down feel that this could have happened. It's like, see these two games, right? So, like, see Ross County and Dundee, like, that can happen, right? You can get a short result against away at Ross County. You can draw 0-0 at Dundee, right? But the fact that you've done it two times in 3 days, when all you need to do is win two games to go top of the league by 2 points, I think that's the issue, it's the mentality. See if the Ross County game was like 3 months ago, we would have won that like 4-0. See if the Dundee game was like 2 months ago, we would have won that 1-2-0. It's like, I personally think it's a mentality issue. I mean, we've been proven wrong/right so many times, and I feel really bad saying it, because like these players, they've given us so many great moments, you know, they've given us 55, they've given us going to Seville and all that, and it's like, okay, just bloody push us one more time. I feel so bad, but I've said it before in this pod as well, I felt this group of players, in terms of like Rangers' history and all that, I felt they've got a place in our history. I felt they were the players to get us back to where we need to be, but they weren't the players to take us forward, if that kind of makes sense. So, like, they got us back up to where we needed to be, but that doesn't mean to say that, like, they should be the ones to take us forward, like, year in, year out, etc. That's just my opinion on it. But I feel really, I feel bad saying it because they've given us so many good moments over the years, but aye.
I do feel that they could have given us more good moments. That's the difference, and I
Aye,
think,
I know,
you
I know what you
know,
mean. You're right, you're
I
right.
think we, I think the team should have developed after. And there's lots of reasons why it didn't, but after we won the league the last time, I think that should have been a watershed moment, and we should have moved on,
Aye,
and
you're right,
we
mate.
should have developed the team further
Spot
then, and we didn't. We stuck with the players that we had, and it was almost like they had reached their sort of
on. Oh, peak. I know
climax,
you.
if you like. But
I know what you mean. Well, Colin, kind of touching on Ian's point, I mean, speaking of the game, obviously the Celtic game against Aberdeen at Hampden yesterday, this is kind of, in my opinion, this is what sums like both sides up. Remember when 2 years ago we played St Johnstone in the Scottish Cup at Ibrox, Xander Clarke scored the last minute equaliser. As soon as that happened, we knew St Johnstone were winning in penalties, right? We just knew that was happening. See, even when Aberdeen equalised yesterday in the last minute, we still knew that Celtic were going to win in penalties. I just said, that just sums like this whole period up. It's like, it's hard to like put your finger on it because you don't know what it is, but it's like you just know that you're going to win something, you're going to lose something. It's like, I think that's the difference between the teams, to be quite honest. It's like, aye,
yeah, but part of
yes.
that's based on, I think part of it's based on what's happened over the last 10 years. So, you know, in 2012, we lost a squad that had won three consecutive league titles. A good chunk of that squad had got us to Manchester in 2008. You know, a typical Walter Smith team, full of character, full of winners. And overnight, that's gone. That is like obliterated. That, you know, the ability to introduce people into that dressing room and get them into that sort of winning way is gone, because the following season we're playing with a room full of jobbers that have never won anything in their life. And Celtic have had that over the last 12 years. They have just, you know, for the 4 or 5 years that we were you know, outside the top tier, they're winning trophies. So they're bringing players in. You know, when they sign new players, they're introducing them into a winning dressing room. They find out how to win. They go through that
Yeah.
experience of winning, and that's it. We've never really had a consistent run at that. And so that's maybe part of it. As I don't care what anyone says, it is a mentality. And I do think what's happened
Oh,
is,
yeah, right,
you know,
mate. You're right, you're spot on.
the minute we went top of the league, something's switched in some of these players' minds. And I don't think it's just the last two games. You can look at the Millwall game,
It's
you know,
happened the last
at the
4 years,
beginning
Colin. It's
of
happened
that.
the last 4 years.
Yeah. So
As soon as
I'm
we go
talking
top of the league, when
talk I'm talking
it's
about
like,
this season though. You know what I mean? This
aye,
group, this season, what's changed is, I mean, we went top of the league in February, didn't we?
something like
And
that.
then we lost to Motherwell, and we got a 3-1 then, because they went to
Yeah.
Tynecastle the following day and lost at Tynecastle. So
Aye.
I don't think it's just the last couple of games. I think it goes further back than that. And I do think, you know, it's a group of players who have consistently lost more than they've won. You know, you've got players in there that haven't won a domestic trophy yet, and it's just a case of, all of a sudden they're like top of the league, four fences from home or whatever, and they're like, oh, this is a different feeling. And you know, I think you can, not even just the results and the performances. You know, for a long time under Clement, when we went in that run, we didn't just win. I wouldn't say we were playing spectacular football, but we controlled games. We
Yeah.
absolutely controlled those games. You know what I mean? Most games that I watched Rangers in that period from November till the end of February, we controlled pretty much every game and won pretty much all of them. We've not an improved performance today, but over the last few weeks, that control hasn't been there. We don't look like we're able to control the tempo of games. You know, we just look a little bit all at sea. And players, you know, that's what pressure does. You know what I mean? Instead of being brave and playing a forward pass, you'll play it safe and go sideways. And that seems to have happened a lot. You know, at times, especially the last couple of games, you know, the Dundee and the Ross County game, the side-to-side stuff was back. You know, side-to-side, centre-half, it's the full-back, back in. Because maybe the pressure's just playing with their mind and they're not prepared to take that forward step for fear of losing the ball and all that kind of stuff, and the crowd turns and all that. That's the pressure that comes with, you know, being in a league where there's only two teams that can realistically win it, and those two teams fucking hate one another, the supporters hate one another. It's just pressure. And they have players that have lived and dealt with that pressure, and we don't. You know what I mean? We've had to rebuild that squad over the last sort of 10 years. And maybe just now it's kicking in. You know what I mean? It's players that have consistently won less than they've won, so to speak. You know, they've not won enough trophies over the last year to have that experience just to get them over the line. And I think that's why they've done so well in Europe, because there's not much expectation.
No pressure.
They're good players. They are, you know, a good group of players who can play at that level. They've went into pretty much every game in these European runs as the underdogs, especially once they've got to the group stages. It's like they're the underdogs, so they're free to play. And that's you know, you can see that in some of the performances and the results and the fact that we got to the final a couple of years ago. Domestically, it's different. You know what I mean? There's pressure. And that messes with players' heads and makes them play it safe rather than taking a chance. And I think that's maybe what we're watching at the moment.
Yep. Just before we move on then, ladies and gentlemen, I need to give you another shout-out from our sponsors, Football Prizes. They are a company who specialise in football competitions. You can get them over at their website at footballprizes.co.uk. Their latest prize is a Rangers signed Legends multi-shirt, signed by Rangers Legends Paul Gascoigne, Richard Goff, Graeme Souness, and there's a few instant win prizes as well. All entries are £3.95. There's 199 tickets, and the competition closes this Thursday, the 25th of April, at 7:30. That's a good competition, aren't we? I just went on it myself. Ian, we've been. This is the thing, right? I mean, we've just beat Hearts at Hampden, like, you know, as I said earlier, routine win at Hampden. Let's try and be positive. Mohamed Diamande, I thought he was awesome today. Obviously, we need to sign him in the summer, but we've got legal obligation to sign him in the summer. I thought he was great, mate. What's your opinion on Diamande? How far do you think he can go?
Yeah, I think he's shown right from the outset. He's got a good player, and he needs good players around him playing well, I think, so he develops into what hopefully he'll become. He's maybe not the guy you would put in there as your sort of fulcrum of your team at this stage, but I mean, he was good. He was really good today. He's got a lot of energy. He gets up and down the park, and you know, he's not scored. He scored at the start, didn't he? His first game or something like that. But he's not.
A couple of crackers. The only two goals he scored are pure crackers.
But yeah, I mean, so he's getting up there, and he's attacking as well. So he's, you know, I mean, I don't think anybody would argue he's a really good player. Now, hopefully, you know, for a couple of seasons he'll be put a stronghold of our midfield, as long as, I don't know who's going to be playing alongside him, whether Lundstrom will be there or not. It looks like he's probably not going to be next season, but it looks a thing. So we need somebody to fill that gap alongside him. I don't know who that will be yet, but
Ryan Jack.
I mean,
sorry.
I mean, that kind of sums up the problem, though, doesn't it? Because, I mean, Ryan Jack is, you know, obviously injury prone. He's out more often than he's in, and that's been the story of the season, hasn't it? You know,
the story of his Rangers career.
Well, overall, though, with the whole team, that's been the story of our season. Is injuries have just, you know, been, you know, I've never known a season like it, really, for consistent injuries that just seem to keep players out. You know, there's, you know, like Sima today, you know, he's back for two, three games or whatever it is, and then he's off after 15 minutes, and, you know, who knows, you know, that could be him out for forever, for as far as we're concerned. So that
Jesus Christ, positivity is out forever.
Well, forever and far, once he's left Rangers, it doesn't bother me what he does. I couldn't care less if he's injured for the rest of his
Oh, I know.
career. But I mean, at this stage, that's the last thing we need really is more injuries. At this time, he was, he, as I said, with Sima, more, I think, I mean, it was early in the game, obviously, but as soon as he went off, it changed the whole sort of dynamic of the game. I thought, he's got the pace and strength that McCausland doesn't have. He's a different kind of player, and what we were doing worked much better at that stage than it did when McCausland came on. But yeah, I mean, yeah, Diamandé for definite. Yeah, I would definitely want to see him flourish next season.
Aye, Colin, I'll kind of touch on the midfield then. If it was up to you, if you're the gaffer, if you're Big Phil, if you've got a ball to head, who's your midfield three?
I mean, excuse me. There's obviously going to be a lot of changes in the summer, so that's hard to say. I mean, I think you could say, I mean, Ryan Jack's not going to be there next season, is he? Or he certainly shouldn't be. I would be very surprised if Lundstrom's there. There's going to be a lot of changes. Bonner will be away, Roof will be away. Just off the top of your head, you can think of five or six players that are not going to be there next season. So.
I don't know.
Yeah,
Got 100 grand a week saved.
there's going to be a few comings and goings. One thing I will say, Diomande looks the business. I think he'll
Aye,
definitely
he was
form.
awesome
He'll
today. He was awesome today.
certainly form part of that midfield next season. Who's with him? I don't know. I mean, even Raskin, I mean, it looks like Clement's sort of done
Aye,
with him
doesn't
as well.
fancy
You
him.
know what I mean? He just doesn't
Aye.
fancy him at all. So it looks like he could be on his way. So in terms of that midfield next season, I think it could be a very different midfield. I think Diomande might be the last man standing.
The thing is, you hope that there's a plan. I don't mind if all these players leave if we've got a plan to replace them, and that's what it's going to come down to, isn't it? I mean, I don't know what I mean. You'd hope that they're planning in advance. I haven't heard an awful lot of sort of chatter about who might be looking at next season, but at this stage, you just hope that they've got a plan, they've got a list of players, they know who they want, they know what kind of players they want. They're not just going to sign guys just for the sake of it because they're available or because they're pals with their agent or something like that. They've got a strategy of some sort in place, hopefully, to replace these players that are going. And in a lot of ways, that would be a good thing. The team needs freshening up clearly, and we need to get rid of the deadwood or the players who have run their race. And we just need to look to the future after this season's finished. But at the same time, we need to get this season over the line first.
Absolutely, and well, we may as well finish on the last game of the season, regardless of what happens in the league. 26th of May, Old Firm Scottish Cup final. Colin, the last time there was an Old Firm Scottish Cup final was it's all right. It was all right when Neil McCann put in a wee cross for Peter Lovingcrantz. Tell us your memories of that game. Give us boost us up. Tell us your memories of that game and how we're going to do it again on the 26th of May.
I was at that game. I think there's only been four Old Firm Cup finals, Scottish Cup finals in my lifetime.
It's mad, isn't
73,
it? It's mad.
73, 80, 89, and 2003. Is it
Oh,
2003,
no,
2002?
the
I
Mill
can't
Olympic
even believe
Sports
that's
Hall
true. That's unbelievable.
2000 or something.
I know. Apparently, there's only been 15 in the whole history of the
I mean, I could
Scottish
have honestly said, well, there's been about three in the last decade, to be honest. I don't know why.
I know.
I think about it, obviously not, but I mean, I
the
can't believe
first
that
one
was the
in
last one, to be honest.
nuts, isn't
I
it?
was there that day. I was there, and we deserved it that day. We deserved to win that day. Celtic went 1-1 up, then it was 1-1, 2-1. The moment of the game, and I know what comes into Lovingcrantz's header,
Fergie.
but Ferguson's free kick was to start, but that was the moment of the game for me. And the thing was, when we got the free kick, I was in is it the south stand that's on the side where the tunnel is? That's
Aye,
the south stand, isn't it? So I
aye,
was in the
so
lower,
stand by.
I was in the lower of the south stand, sort of in line with the 18-yard box. And I said to my mate, there's no point in getting a free kick. We've not got anybody that can take one. You know what I mean? And wee Barry just came up and went pump of that. I was at the final in 89 as well when we got beat. We were cheated. Roy Aiken stole a throw-in that was ours. And then Gary Stevens fluffed a pass back, and Joe Miller scored. I was there that day as well. But thanks to my jails, I'll not be there this year. So there we go.
I'm not even going to start in my jails. Ian,
No.
the last Scottish Cup Ulster final, if you could, sir, give us your memories of that one if you can.
Yeah, I was right behind the goal for Fergie's free kick and the diving header as well. I would say it's up there. I don't know if it's my favourite game of all time, but definitely up in the top three or four, I would say,
Aye.
of Rangers games ever. It was just because of the it was a great game actually.
Aye,
For the
it's good.
neutral, if you want to, I don't give
Yeah.
a toss about the neutral, but I mean, it was a good game. But you know, when we were losing, and I thought, I can't see this again. You know, because it's all at that point where, you know, they'd just been getting the upper hand when Advocaat had been there and things had gone a bit sour after that, and you know, we were still sort of trying to come back, and you know, that you know, we you know, like Colin said, we totally deserved it, outplayed them most of the game, and it was actually a bit of an injustice that they were ahead at that point. So when he scored that goal, but I mean, that a loving France free kick header was, yeah, I would say one of my best ever Rangers supporting moments, definitely, when I had the net. And it was, you know, just such a, you know, bit of a cliche, but just such an outpouring. You know, it was like limbs everywhere. You
Yeah.
know, you know, when you see the footage now, you know, I still watch it and see if I can see myself, but I
Yeah.
obviously can't.
It was an important one as well because, and
Dead.
it might be something
That squad
similar to
went
this
on to win a
season.
treble the next year.
Yeah. So, I
Exactly.
mean, it was obviously McLeish would won the League Cup against Ayr United. I was there that day as well. And then, you know, Celtic obviously won the league that year, and then we've won the Scottish Cup. So he won the two cups, you know, McLeish. So it gave him that foundation
There's a
to
lot of
go
comparisons you could make
on to get the
with
treble.
this
Yeah,
season,
yeah,
isn't there?
yeah.
Because
I mean, if we. Sorry, on you go.
no, I was going to say, but I mean, we knocked them out in the semi final, and that was almost a bigger game than the final. That you know, the Big Bertie's
Gotcha.
Thunderbolt.
I was there
I was there that night as well,
that night as well. That was a good night, yeah.
and that was just a turning point. You know, because at that point they were getting the better of us all the time, and you know, it was just
Yeah.
get winning that game, knocking them out, and get to the final. We, you know. Not guaranteed to win it, but we felt it guaranteed to win it, and then getting the cup final because they'd won the league already by the time
Yeah.
McLeish started. So you could argue similarly that they were, you know, we would have thought they were out of sight of this season. Difference is that we were sort of we've hung in and actually, you know, done better than maybe people expected this time. But you know, if it ends up that we win the two cups and they win the league, I'm not going to be happy, but it gives that foundation for next season.
Foundation,
You'd hope,
yeah.
doesn't it?
Well, you would have taken that in late October, so
No, you would have, I mean, grabbed it.
aye, absolutely.
The only issue with not winning the league this season is, you know, it's going to be the final season where we get direct access to the Champions
Champions
League. You
League,
know what I
man.
mean? And so the 3 years when that's been available, down to us and our performances,
Exactly. That's the
we've
annoying thing
never
about it.
managed to take advantage of it. You know what I mean? But that's the only thing if we don't win the league this season. But you know, you would hope if we were to win the two cups, if it was a sort of, you know, another sort of McLeish scenario where Big Phil comes in, wins the two cups, so you say it gives him that foundation. He knows then we can beat them if he recruits well in the summer. Then we might be in a better position next season. Who knows?
Well, exactly, mate. But I mean, McLeish won a treble in his second season. You never know what Big Phil could do in the next couple of months, the next few weeks. You never know. You never know. But I think we'll wrap up there, guys. It was an absolute pleasure to be joined by you tonight at home, ladies and gentlemen. All that's left to do tonight is, I guess, Dean, thanks for coming on, mate.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Colin, thanks again for coming on, pal.
Thank you.
Have a good night, guys. You can get us over on YouTube if you're watching now. You can rewind back to the start if you want to hear us ramble on. You can get us on all your usual podcast platforms as well from tomorrow on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc., etc. But all it's left to do for me now is thank you, guys. Have a good night. Let's go. Bye-bye.